States that have legalized marijuana are contending with a new criminal tactic. Smugglers who grow and process pot for export to states where it's illegal and worth a lot more. Colorado is the epicenter of the phenomenon, although it's popping up in Oregon and Washington as well. Now, as Maine, Massachusetts, and Canada consider legalizing recreational marijuana, the question arises, will the Northeast see a wave of New Age bootleggers? Fred Bever has our story.
During the Prohibition era, it was whiskey being run from Canada or Mexico to the U.S. Now it's marijuana that's being smuggled from Colorado, where it's been fully legal since 2014, to neighboring states and beyond.
It's probably our number one concern.
Andrew Friedman directs marijuana policy for Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper. He says organized criminals are exploiting legal loopholes by collecting home-grow licenses that allow for as many as 99 marijuana plants each. And more generally, he says, criminals are using the state's fully legalized pot economy as cover.
Different ways you can use Amendment 20 and Amendment 64, the medical and the recreational, to kind of cloak yourself in legitimate growing. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people who want to do that in order to sell out of state, because there's a huge economic upside to selling out of state right now.
As in, a pound of pot worth, say, $1,500 at the counter of a legal Colorado marijuana shop is worth $3,000 or more when it crosses a state border, instantly transmuted into a prized black market commodity. And criminal gangs are moving in, creating a headache for Colorado law enforcement, dangers to public safety, and a field day for the media.
Tonight, seven suspects are behind bars after a massive drug bust.
Cynthia Kaufman calling this the largest and most sophisticated case ever uncovered in Colorado.
This is exclusive video of what 1,500 pounds of pot looks like. Evidence in a criminal trial.
The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration says last year, state highway patrols intercepted more than 3,500 pounds of marijuana that was destined for states beyond Colorado's border. That's just a tenth, they estimate, of the actual cross-border market, making it, conservatively, a $100-plus million proposition. And those numbers do not include all of the busts of some pretty big syndicates, many of them recently involving Cuban nationals shipping high-potency product to Florida. And for Colorado's neighboring states, it's a doubly frustrating problem, because not of their own making.
Nebraska, Colorado's become ground zero for marijuana production and trafficking.
John Bruning is Nebraska's attorney general. He and his counterpart in Oklahoma are trying to sue Colorado and force it to overturn its marijuana laws.
This contraband has been heavily trafficked into our state, while Colorado reaps millions from the production and sale of pot. Nebraska taxpayers have to bear the cost. Virtually every aspect of Nebraska's criminal justice system has experienced increased expenses to deal with the interdiction and prosecution of Colorado marijuana trafficking.
One Nebraska study found that border counties saw gradual increases in pot-related arrests, jailings, and costs since medicinal marijuana was legalized in Colorado, and a surge in 2014 when the recreational pot law went into effect. Marijuana advocates caution, though, that such statistics may be skewed by changes in enforcement strategies over time, and the U.S. Supreme Court recently declined to review the complaint by Colorado's neighbors, which are looking for other venues to pursue their case. Meanwhile, here on the East Coast, voters in Massachusetts and Maine are considering full legalization on the November ballot, and Canada Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is calling for legalization there. And if any or all of those measures are approved, police in neighboring states are bracing for some new challenges. Andrew Shiguri is Tufton Borough's chief of police and the New Hampshire Chiefs of Police Association's point man on pot. If Maine or Massachusetts does go for legalization, he expects that at the least, problems such as small-scale smuggling and intoxicated driving will spill over the borders.
If more does spill over, the direct effect, I suspect, would be more accidents with people under the influence. I mean, that's something that would be obviously a public safety concern. And I think politically you'd see more pressure for it to pass here, too.
And Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey expects organized crime to open up new fields of operation.
What is going to stop a drug cartel from purchasing property, renting property here, and running an operation out of that property? And that's something that could be situated next to a school, next to a hospital, in a suburban neighborhood. That's a real problem.
But some note that Colorado neighbors, such as Nebraska and Oklahoma, have relatively strict marijuana laws, creating a strong incentive for smugglers there. In New England, there is a more relaxed culture around marijuana. Every state in the region, except for New Hampshire, has decriminalized possession of small amounts of pot and allowed use of medicinal marijuana, perhaps reducing potential black market demand. Essentially, says Vermont's Attorney General William Sorrell, Vermonters are already growing enough pot to meet most of their smoking needs. But Sorrell is worried about the introduction of edible marijuana products into the regional marketplace.
And I really think the regulators have to do a lot more effective work on the quality control to be able so that buyers know what the THC content is, what is a legitimate serving or size or portion, because I think there have been and will continue to be potential problems of over-ingestion of marijuana.
There are specific parts of the measures in Maine and Massachusetts that could make it harder for criminals to aggregate licenses for big grow operations. Alicia Melnick, communications director for the legalization campaign in Maine, says there is much to learn from the Colorado experience.
The way that the Maine initiative was designed was intended to limit the grow space to provide for the main market in a way that did not overproduce and invite any kind of diversion.
She and other advocates of ending pot prohibition point to what they believe would be the most effective way to end the black market economy, and that's to legalize marijuana in every state. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.